to hit the snooze button and just to sleep in. Your little sleepy side says, oh, I don't want to get up today. And especially when it comes to Sunday. Some people don't want to go to church. Some don't want to go to Sunday school. And so you just hit the snooze button and, man, I'll just sleep in just a little bit more. Maybe next Sunday. Maybe I'll hit it next Sunday. Maybe I'll come back. Maybe, maybe, maybe. And the question actually comes up then, why do you attend church? Why do we attend church? Why are we here? Why do we come? And so now stop and think about this, the things that happen in life. School, why do you go to school? So you can get an education, right? Okay, why do you go to work? So that you can make money, pay your bills, support your family, right? So they have food. Why do you go to the gym? Well, there's a lot of reasons some people do. To exercise, healthier life, maybe it's a good hobby for you, it's a stress reliever. Why do you go to the mall? Well, not our mall, that's just to go to the doctor's office, but maybe like the Columbus, one of the ones in Columbus or something, and stores like that to buy clothes or something of that nature. You go to the grocery store to buy food, right? And you go to the lake to go fishing or, you know, enjoy yourself, go swimming. You go to a game to enjoy your favorite team or maybe watch your son or daughter or your grandkids. But why church? What's church there for? Why do we get up early on one of the very few days that we have off, right? Why go through the hassle? Man, I tell you what, I need my sleep. And judging by some of the look on your faces, so do you guys. Some of you need some beauty sleep. But if you've ever asked yourself that question, why do we go to church? You're not alone. Survey has been around, 79% of Americans call themselves Christians, but only 18% of those 79 actually attend church on a regular basis. And I guess some people don't want to go through the bother. Some people, it's an unnecessary burden to be avoided. Some folks, I don't know, maybe you just come once in a while just to keep your wife off your back, or maybe your pastor, I don't know. But for those that understand what the church is for, it can be the most spiritually fulfilling, inspiring thing that you can do all week long. Amen. In the book of Acts, it talked about the church in its early inception when, after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and then come the day of Pentecost, which is just 50. Pentecost is just 50. So it's 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, the church started. And Acts 1:8, Jesus told the disciples, he said, when the Spirit comes upon you, you're going to have power. And you're going to have power to go proclaim my death, burial, and resurrection. And so that happened 50 days after his resurrection. The Holy Spirit indwelled new believers. And then they went out and they preached the gospel, the good news, with power. But in Acts chapter 2, if you have your copy of God's word, go to Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 41. I want to show you at the end of Acts 2 when the church began and people were getting saved. And I want you to see a snapshot, so to speak, of what the church looked like in the early days. In Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 41, Luke writes this. Those who received his word, as the message that the apostles were giving out, it was the gospel, they were baptized and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, verse 43. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and their belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Verse 46. And day by day, every day, they were attending the temple together. They were breaking bread in their homes. They were received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the number day by day those who were being saved. Let's open with a word of prayer and we'll get into our context this morning. Father God, we thank you so much for the beautiful sunshine you provided for us today. What a day to be in your house to worship you. I thank you, Father, for the guests that are here this morning. May this message speak to them in a way that would be a blessing. May it speak to your church, Lord, to be encouraged about why they're here and what their purpose is and why they come. We love you so much, God, and we just pray that your spirit would fill this place. Open our hearts and minds to what you have for us this morning. We love you, Father, and we ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. Now, there's so much going on here in Acts chapter 2. But I just want to give you four things. I want to give you four things, hopefully that will be a better encouragement to you of why the church exists and why you should be a part of it. Number one, membership. Membership. Church gives people a place to belong. We just read in the text, it talked about the early church was absolutely flooded with fellowship. Verse 42, they devoted themselves and to fellowship. Verse 44, everybody who believed, they were together. Verse 46, day after day, they were in the temple together, and they were breaking bread in their homes together. Verse 47, they were praising God and having favor with all the people. Everybody was together. They were fellowshipping together. Jesus gives us a sense of community. That's absolutely in the word church. It comes from the Greek word ecclesia. It means a local called out assembly, people that gather together. Amen? That's what we are. We're a local assembly that gathers together. And so we need that. We need that togetherness, that place to belong. And when it comes to church and when it comes to family church and community church and corporate worship right here on a Sunday morning, that's a level that you cannot find out in the world. This is a level of fellowship and membership that you cannot find out in the world. All of us need a place to belong. People long to be connected. Everywhere you look, people are starved. They're hungry for fellowship, for community, for a sense of family. I don't mean this in a bad way. Probably shouldn't talk about it, but I talk about all kinds of things I probably shouldn't. But if you ever watch beer commercials, not that I make it my life's work, but that's awesome. They don't sell beer. You understand that? You know what they do sell? Fellowship. Not one beer commercial do you see anybody drinking by themselves. It's always with a group of people. They sell fellowship. And actually, you ever seen the TV series Cheers? Huh? And your little angel hung the cat up. Sometimes you want to know where everybody knows your name. Sinners, you watch that show? I hear ya. Say it out there. Glad you came. No, not that I've seen see. It. Troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. That's amazing. Do you know what? The world gets it in some aspects. They get it because everybody wants a place to fellowship, to belong. Wouldn't it be great if you had a place where you could come into where everybody knew your name? Hello? Yes. You can answer that. That's not rhetorical. But here's the idea, man. People need a place where they can go, where people are glad that you're here. I'm telling you something right now, friend. I'm glad you're here. Church, I'm glad you're here. And if you don't want to eat and you don't want to do, that's okay. I'm just glad you're here to hear the message. Amen? That's the most important aspect. And so, but we need a place to fellowship because too many times there are too many analogies of Christians that are disconnected from church. A football player without a team. Maybe a soldier without a platoon. A soldier without an army service. A sheep without a flock. But here's probably the biggest, and it's a biblical picture, is a child without a family. What child doesn't have a family? Well, in our culture, there's a lot of them. But the family is supposed to be the church. God does not want his children to grow up in isolation from each other. So he created a spiritual family where we could have a sense of togetherness, a sense of membership, a sense of belonging. A Christian without a family is nothing more than an orphan. We need that togetherness. You know, as time goes on, the weather gets cold, kind of like the water that's out in the dunk tank. You'll see the You'll see them flying south for the winter, and they'll be in a V formation, right? You seen that? I looked that up. It's really cool. They fly for a purpose. The very front runner sets the stage, and everybody else behind him flies slightly above. So as it goes back in the V, they are slightly above the first guy. And they do that because it gives them 75% more flight range. They can fly farther when they're together than they can if they're individual. Isn't that awesome? Now listen to this. I also found this. When the gooses or geeses or goose or whatever you say, when they get sick or they get wounded and one falls to the ground, two of them break out of formation and go down to the ground with him. And they will stay there until he is able to fly, and they will help him get back into formation or until he dies. And when he dies, he will get back. The two that were with him will take off and go back into formation. Isn't that crazy? This is exactly what Jesus gave the church to do. We can do the same for one another. We can support one another. We can stand by each other. When people are down and out, that's where you want to go. Someplace where everybody knows your name. You just call on me, brother, if you need a hand. Because we all need somebody to lean on. Amen? That's why Jesus created the church. That's why we're here. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 12. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Amen? That's awesome. It is the more the merrier for the most part. God has designed us to fellowship with one another. The church is a great place to go where everybody can know your name, and they'll always be glad you came. Church is here not only, number one, not only to fellowship, but number two, we're here to magnify God. We are here to magnify the name of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 46 and 47. He says, "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, and they were praising God." I don't know if anybody has ever told you, or maybe you get the wrong idea about church. But not to be mean, it's not about you. Yeah, I point a finger at you. I got three back at me. It's not about me. It's about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's about coming here to magnify him. Listen, church gives us an opportunity to worship God. Can I be honest with you? Man, we don't beat around the bush here. Most people don't worship God on their own. Most people don't worship God in their home. Listen, life is busy. It's hectic, and we get so easily distracted. Squirrel! What? I mean, yeah, where was I saying? Oh, yeah. We get so easily distracted. All of life should be worship, but it's not. It's actually not. Church gives us, listen, folks, church gives us a small amount of time where we can come here once a week to gather together, where everybody knows each other's names. If you come long enough, I'll probably know your face, but your name will probably come down the road. But it gives us a place to come together and have focused worship and attention on the one who deserves it, and that's Jesus. And King David in Psalm chapter 34, verse 3, he says this. He says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." There is fellowship in magnifying the Lord. Amen? That's what John says in 1 John. If we say we have fellowship with one another and we walk in darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. We togetherness. And that's why we're here. Psalm 69:30, he goes on to say this. This is great. He says, "I will praise the name of God with a song, and I'll magnify him with thanksgiving." And that's what we've come to do. We've come to magnify the name of Jesus and exalt and magnify him with thanksgiving. Now listen, there's a big difference between a microscope and a telescope. A microscope will take things that you can't see with the human eye, and it'll kind of, you know, blow them up so that you can see them. But that's different than a telescope. See, a telescope takes things that are ginormous and makes them even bigger, right? You ever looked at the moon through a telescope? There's all kinds of things you can't see from the eye. That thing is huge. And then you start looking at all its individual little moons and pools and all that thing that they have up there on the moon. That's really wonderful. That is the same thing that we should be doing with God. We should magnify God, not like a microscope, but like a telescope, so that we can see our big God as he truly is. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter says this, "But you are a people for his possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We are telescopes. We're telescopes to a world to show the world how awesome our God truly is. Amen? Not only do we magnify God, but third, we come for spiritual maturity. Everything grows. Trees grow. Your kids grow. It's just natural. It's a part of it. And so as Christian children of the Lord, we should be growing in spiritual maturity as well. Look at verse 42. Luke says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers." Listen, we don't memorize the scripture. We don't memorize as many verses as you possibly can to look smart. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have in Bible education. It doesn't matter how many Bible verses that you have. We don't come here. Let me tell you, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 says, "Knowledge puffs up." And there's a lot of know-it-alls out there that'll shove in your face how much they know. Amen? But that's not why we do it. Listen, when we come to learn from the Word of God, when we come to learn what God would have for us to do, we should allow the Word of God, be saturated with the Word of God, so that through it, the Holy Spirit can change us and make us look more like Jesus Christ. That's it. R.W. Emerson once pointed out, he said, "It behooves us to be careful what we worship. For what we worship, we are becoming." Fellowshipping with people who are more spiritual than we are, who are more mature, it helps us grow too. When we come to church with others who are spiritually growing and we hear the Word of God and it's being preached and it teaches you what it really means to be like Jesus. And it should actually challenge you to follow in Christ's steps. And hopefully, it inspires you and equips you to go and do the same. Church helps us grow. And number four, it helps us do ministry. We're here to help in ministry. Now listen, in Acts chapter 2, verse 43 and 45, Luke says this, "And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing to the proceeds to all as anybody had a need." Now, while the apostles were tending to the sick and to the blind and to the crippled and all of those things, the other Christians who got saved, they were helping the poor and they were looking out for one another. All the folks that got saved in the church, they were helping them and taking care of all of their needs. Church exists to do ministry. And everybody has a part in ministry. That's the whole point. People think that we're just created to come and just be a consumer of resources. We're just here to eat and drink and take up space. And that's not true. You were put on here, God put you on this earth to make a contribution. Put something into it. He designed you to make a difference in the life of others, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with we which ourselves are comforted by God." God is the God of all comforts. God is the God of all mercies. And you pray to him for his mercy and his comfort. Amen? And when he has comforted you through a situation, you are now equipped to go help somebody else who's going through the same thing. Right? That's why we're here. That's like the birds. They help one another until the end, or until you're fixed where you can get back on your feet. Man, that's what God wants us to do, is give back. Help others. That's ministry. And we all have a ministry. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, we are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus to go do good works. God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God said, I'm going to save you, make you look like my son, so that you can go out and do good works. We're probably not going to go around healing people. Not that that's not possible. We don't have all the finances in the world to sell properties and sell stuff, or just go to the bank account and get thousands of dollars and just hand money over to the poor. But let me tell you something. God does give abilities. He gives gifts. He gives experiences. And he gives interest so that it could be used for ministry to go help other people. If you love to cook, maybe you can cook a meal for a shut-in, somebody who's had a recent surgery. Families that just had new babies. Something of that nature. You can use a gift or something that you love to do to help people. That's ministry. If you've got a heart for kids, guess what? You're probably good at the children's ministry. Guess what? We always have need for children's ministry people. We have needs in our children's ministry because we need people to step up and do ministry that God's called them to do. Amen? Listen, who better to help an alcoholic recover than somebody who has fought those demons and found freedom themselves? What about the tragedy of going through a divorce? Let me tell you something. Friend, God can use you to comfort somebody else who is experiencing that same type of heartbreak. The possibilities. Man, I'm telling you, I don't think we understand the possibilities. They are limitless. But the problem is unfortunately, excuses outweigh the possibilities. Right? What excuses are you using? I know Abraham said he was too old to have a child. I'm 100 years old. I can't have a kid. God says, yeah, I don't think so. Leah was too ugly to get a husband. Oh, she was an ugly woman. That's what the Bible says. I'm just quoting the Bible. But guess what? She was married off first. Hello? Gideon, he was a scared little chicken, but he led 300 people to fight thousands of the Philistines and got victory. Elijah was suicidal. Jeremiah was depressed. Naomi was a widow. Samaritan woman, she had 5 failed marriages. Thomas had doubts, but God used every single one of them in a mighty way. And God can use you if you let him. If you let him. Let me close with this. We got a lot of stuff going on today. I'm starting to get hungry, so I better hurry up. Look at verse 47. Luke says, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. As the church began to grow and they saw people saved, everybody got on the same mission. We all have the same mission, and that's to share the good news of Jesus. The gospel of our salvation to every creature we come in contact with. Amen? We all have the same mission. And as the early church began, and we see that snapshot, the gospel was being preached day by day in Jerusalem. And the church grew from 120 to 3,000 in one day. And then in Acts chapter 4, they went from 3,000 to 5,000. And then in Acts chapter 6, well, they got so many they couldn't count. The Bible says there was a multitude's multitude. there's a lot of people. How awesome is that? Because they all come together and they knew how important it was to get the message of Jesus Christ out to everybody. Millions heard the gospel and thousands believed. Man, if we come together with the purpose of what God called us to do, the mission to give people the gospel of Jesus, can Jesus Christ help with drug addiction? Can Jesus Christ help with alcoholism? Can Jesus Christ restore your marriage? Can Jesus Christ do anything for you and your family? Then how is it not important to go out and give this world Jesus Christ? If he's important to you, it should be important enough to go give it to them. Because we're no different than them. Can I tell you, in the parable, I just feel led. Sorry. I don't remember what passage, but in Matthew's gospel, it's the parable of the workers. And the one guy started at hour one, and the next guy started a couple hours later, and the next guy started a couple hours later. And I think the steward at the very end, he was like 1 hour before quitting time. So this guy's been working for 11 hours. This guy's been working for 10. This guy's working for 8. He's been working for 6. And the guy that gets the same amount as the guy that worked for 12, he will only work for an hour. And some of the guys were mad. Can I tell you something? Don't ever be mad that people accept Jesus Christ and are going to heaven. That was the point Jesus was saying. Because some people are like, I was saved at 4 years old and I've served Jesus Christ all my life. And I'm 104 now. I've served him 100 years. This guy accepted Jesus right before he died and he's going to heaven too. You better believe it. Jesus is for everybody. I don't care how long you've served him. I don't care how long you haven't served him. It's time to step up, start doing ministry. It's time to start living what you say is important to you. This is why we're doing back to church, man. We got to get our focus back to Jesus. Amen? Church isn't just something that you attend. It's something that you are. When you understand what it means not just to go to church, but to be the church, you will discover a bigger purpose for your life. You were made to be a member. You were made to join a family. You were made to magnify the name of God. Isaiah 45 says that God created us to give him glory. We were made to magnify the name of Jesus. We were made to mature into his image. Romans 8, 28 through 30. And we have a mission field to give God glory by presenting the gospel to every creature we come in contact with. Everybody has a ministry. We need to do it, but we all have the same mission. Maybe you've been out of church for a while. Maybe you need to get back into it. Maybe you've been in church for so long, maybe you've missed the point of why you're sitting here. Maybe you just need to be born again. Maybe there's never been a time where you've made a commitment to Jesus Christ, and you need to do that this morning. I would love for you to come and dedicate your life to Jesus. Or maybe you need to rededicate your life to Jesus. I don't know. Maybe you need baptized. Maybe you need discipled. Maybe you've got some burden that you are carrying this morning, and you just need to leave it at the foot of the cross. Whatever it is, Jesus is here for you and your need. Whatever your need this morning, I invite you to come. When we do our invitation, I invite you to come. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for everything that you do for us, God. Your son gives us everything that we need. Your son gives us life. We have hope. We have purpose. We have meaning. God, we're not here to do this life alone. We're here to help others. We are here to have a purpose, a meaning, and give others hope in this life. And that hope is your son. God, I pray that if there's someone here this morning, maybe maybe has never placed their faith and trust, never made that commitment to Jesus, let today be the day. Let today be the day. As we give this invitation, Father, I pray that you would just have your way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.